Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. We've come to the weekend before Thanksgiving. I wonder if anticipation is beginning to stir deep within you as it is in us. Anticipation for the next 6 weeks of Thanksgiving, Christmas, and transition to the long-awaited new year of 2020. This weekend, we conclude the wonderful journey through Paul's letter to the Christians in the town of Philippi, written about 60 AD from his house arrest in Rome. It's been a great letter, hasn't it? The closing few verses contain some very powerful words. Let's begin with verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Paul wrote. Wow, what a statement. In this little letter, we've heard Paul speak of being torn between wanting to be alive here on earth and doing the work Jesus called him to do, and departing for heaven in death. I see that in chapter 1, verse 20 to 26. Paul also spoke about living humbly and without selfish ambition like Jesus, chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. Paul spoke about pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, chapter 3, verse 7 to 14. And Paul spoke about rejoicing in the Lord always, regardless of circumstances, because the Lord is near, chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. And finally, yesterday, we looked closely at Paul's remarkable statement that he had learn the secret of being content in every situation, chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. When we consider all the situations in life which these statements represent, it's not difficult to imagine Paul saying, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Paul is not boasting in himself at all. It is completely a statement of confidence in these attributes of God: his omnipotence, all-powerful, his omniscience, all-knowing, and his omnipresence, everywhere present at all times. And therefore, Paul can be fully confident there is nothing that he may face that is too much for Jesus to handle. That's why the key to verse 13 is these two words, in Christ. Paul's confidence is entirely in Jesus. What about you and me, my friends? As 2019 winds down, with all you may face in these 6 weeks and in 2020, how close can we come to saying with confidence, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? From verse 14 to 18, we see Paul expressing his specific gratitude to his friends in Philippi, who evidently sent some gifts with Epaphroditus, which especially encouraged him. And we see this was not the first time. Do you have some friends like that? Generous friends who find great joy in helping others with all types of help. Perhaps you're someone like that. Dawn and I have been greatly blessed over the years, both to be on the receiving end of such generosity, and we also find that joy of helping many others. The heart of generosity is a wonderful gift from God, isn't it? Isn't Paul's phrase interesting in verse 17? Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. Was Paul referring to some type of accounting system in which he kept track of who sent him gifts and contributions? No, I don't think so, my friends. I don't see that as Paul's focus here at all. I think he's referring to what Matthew wrote about in Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's Matthew 6, 19 to 21. Now, we need to be careful here, don't we? Jesus was not saying that we should disregard our daily needs or that of our family and live financially recklessly, depending on the government or our friends to care for our needs. Nor was Jesus saying that we should not plan for the care of our future needs through saving, investing, retirement plans, etc. Rather, Jesus was saying, as he often did, we should look first in our hearts. What are our priorities? What hold does money and the things money can buy have on our lives? How sensitive are we to the leading of the Holy Spirit in how God wants to lead us in spending the finances that he has supplied to us? Remember the important message of Deuteronomy chapter 8 that Moses gave to the young generation ready to enter the new land about the danger of being controlled by the passionate pursuit of wealth and disregarding that everything we have has been provided to us by God. Jesus said the same thing in one verse here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Paul was saying to his friends in Philippi that as they sent gifts which cared for his needs in prison, they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to do so, and their sacrificial generosity was recorded in heaven and was an obedient investment in the work of the Lord Jesus here on earth. It's an exciting spiritual principle, my friends. God doesn't need our money, but God accomplishes his great purposes here on earth for his glory as he leads his obedient people in participating in strategic ways with his plans through their resources. Did you get that? God leads us to use our time, our talents, our treasures, our energy, our passions, even our words and our bodies to accomplish his purposes for his glory. When you and I obediently follow God's leading us in this, it is the most valuable use of our resources, and we find the greatest sense of fulfillment in life. Can you see the polar opposite attraction we face every day? Spending our resources on ourselves, our ambitions, pursuing our pleasure, or invest our resources obediently in following God's leading us in accomplishing his purposes in our world. Oh, my friends, this is one of the greatest aspects of walking with Jesus, in obediently following his leading us in investing our resources in his kingdom purposes every day. Have you discovered the remarkable fulfillment which comes in this, my friends? Finally, do you see what Paul wrote in verse 19? And God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. Do you believe that, my friends? Have you found it to be true in your life story? Dawn and I have, for sure. And a part of that is learning the difference between needs and wants, and needs from God's perspective and needs from our perspective. Living in Haiti, of course, really helped us with that. One of the little books I keep close and read often is The Autobiography of George Mueller. You may remember he's the man who, with his wife and some close friends, fully trusted in God through prayer for meeting the needs of hundreds of orphans which they took in and cared for in the years 1840 to 1865 or so in England. They felt strongly that they should not ask for money and not accept any government help. Here's what he wrote in his diary in December 9, 1840. The chief end for which the orphanage was established is that the church would see the hand of God stretched out on our behalf in answer to prayer. Our desire, therefore, is not that we may be without trials of faith, but that the Lord would graciously support us in the trial and that we may not dishonor him by distrust. This way of living brings the Lord remarkably near. Morning by morning he inspects our supplies that he may send help as he knows it is needed. I have never had a greater awareness of the Lord's presence than when, after breakfast, there was nothing left for dinner. And then the Lord provided dinner for more than 100 people. All this without one single human being having been informed about our need. One thing is certain, we are not tired of doing the Lord's work in this way. End quote. January 25, 1847, that's 7 years later, quote, the season is approaching when the building may begin. I have waited 447 days upon God for the amount we needed. How great is the blessing the soul obtains by trusting in God and by waiting patiently on him. From December 10, 1845 to January 25, 1847, I have received, solely in answer to prayer, £9,285. Of course, that's British money. The Lord is willing to give what will be needed once the new orphan house is built, although the expenses will be about £2,500 a year more than they were before. From the opening of our institution, it has been my desire to use part of the funds to aid missionaries who are not supported by regular salary. During these last 2 years, the Lord has enabled me to do so in a far greater degree than ever before. Close quote. You may remember that at its height, George Mueller and his wife and many others were depending solely upon God's provision to care for the everyday needs of 2,000 orphan children in Bristol, England, plus sending money to missionaries like Hudson Taylor in China. That's what Paul did. And therefore, Paul concludes his letter to the Philippian Christians. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. This was the daily purpose of Paul's life, God's glory. What if it was the primary purpose of your life and mine, my friends? Every day, as we depend upon God to provide us what we need, and we depend upon God to guide us in how to use the resources that he has given to us for his glory. Oh, these days of reading Philippians together have been very special to me, and I hope to you. I pray for you today, my dear friends, that as God's word comes more and more alive to us, that our relationship with Jesus Christ may become more dynamic, more vibrant and real every day. I hope you have a great weekend. Next week is Thanksgiving, and we'll look together at some very special Thanksgiving scriptures. Lord Jesus, I lift up before you all my dear friends who are on the journey with me as we walk with you. You know each of our needs, and I ask you today that you would touch each of us right at the point of what you know to be our greatest need. In Jesus' name, amen.